Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We welcome you to our program today. We're going to have a continuing teaching. These are church services that we have done, or healing schools that we've done, and we welcome you to come and join in this. And everything we have, you can have the everything in its entirety. It's free and postpaid. We will tell you at the end of the program exactly how you can get our programs, and they're all free and postpaid. And may the Lord bless you.
The tongue is the most important thing you have in your body, your tongue. It is either your best friend, it'll put you over in life, or it's your worst enemy, and it'll destroy you in life. So, you know, you heard this old proverb, people say, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm telling you, that didn't come out of God's Word. That's from the devil. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but wrong kind of words will kill you. They will send you to hell. So, then he says in verse 22, lying lips. Now, I know no Christian has ever lied. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But just a little bitty lie would be okay if you're a Christian? Reckon? No, not even a little bit of it. I mean, but your wife comes in and says, where have you been? Well, if I tell her I stopped by the smoothie plant and got a smoothie and I didn't bring her one, I'm going to be in big trouble. So what do I... I knew that would get Cheryl. I know she likes smoothies. I would never do that. That would be true. If I stopped and got one, I guarantee I'd bring her one. And she said, where have you been, honey? And I said, oh, I stopped by the grocery store, so it took me extra time. But really, I stopped by the smoothie plant and got me a smoothie, see, and I drank it before I got home so she wouldn't know it, see. A little lie like that wouldn't be okay? No. Does God hate lying? He sure says He does. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Now then, I might stop by the smoothie plant, and I might buy me a smoothie, and I might drink it just before I get home. When I get, she said, where you been? How come you're late? And I said, well, I'd stop by and get me a smoothie. And you didn't bring me one? No, I didn't bring you one. But if you want one, we'll run back up there and get you one. At least I was truthful, right, Keith? And it kept me out of trouble with God. It might have got me in trouble with my wife, but it at least kept me out of trouble with God. I'd have a whole lot rather be in trouble with her than with God. Hopefully I can make amends to her quicker than I can with the Lord. But anyway, lying lips, He hates it. So you have to watch what you say. Some people can't open their mouth without telling a little lie somewhere. But a little lie, God hates it. Then He says in verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. How many of you love it when you're an employer yourself, or you're a manager, whatever, at a place of business, and you got people, men or women, working for you, and you can just give them a chore, and you know that chore is going to get done. Don't you love those kind of people? But the kind that you give them a chore, and they're going to goof off all they can, or they're going to be in the restaurant or the cafeteria reading the newspaper, and if you don't find them, instead of a 10-minute break, they'll take a 15-minute break or a 30-minute break, or you'll catch them somewhere sitting where they're supposed to be working, but they're taking a little nap or just sitting there doing nothing. Don't you love to pay people that do those kind of things for you? No, you don't love to pay them. You hate that. But that person that's diligent, they work extra hard. And you didn't ask them to work extra hard, but they just do it. You know what happens? You put a little extra money in their envelope when you pay them. You see where I'm coming from? The diligent. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Don't be a lazy man. I don't want to be put to forced labor. Verse 25 said, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. When people come to me and say, I am depressed. You know how often I hear that in the church? Far, far too often. I've had such a bad week this week. I'm so depressed. What were you anxious about? What does it say? Anxiety causes depression. Oh, the New Testament said something like, be anxious for everything? Oh, it didn't say that, Gene? What did it say? Be anxious for nothing, right? Oh, isn't that amazing? Even under the New Covenant, we're to be anxious for nothing. Under love, we're not to be anxious about nothing. It don't make any difference when it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, don't be anxious, because if you do, it causes depression. You know, you're anxious about getting this done, and then it don't happen exactly when you thought it was, so you get depressed. Don't go there. Be anxious about nothing. Make your schedule every day. Attack that schedule. If you're halfway down that list and something deviates you off into something else, then just praise God. Do what you have to do. Get it done. When you get that done, come back over and start where you left off and keep going. But be anxious about nothing. You know, but be thankful in all things. But a good word makes it glad. A good word makes it glad. How do you get people set free from depression? By a good word from the Lord. I mean, I had a woman one time call me. She was so depressed. I mean, she was beat up on. I was on the phone with this woman. She had let the devil beat up on her. I began to tell her who she was in Christ. I mean, within 30 minutes or an hour on the telephone, this woman's on fire, ready to attack the world. What made the difference? A word from God. God's word. In verse 28, it says, in the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathways there is no death. Oh. In the way of righteousness? That seems like I read something over in John chapter 8 and chapter 11 that when Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees that, they said he has a demon. When Jesus said, if you keep all my commandments and all my statutes, I tell you, you shall never die. You shall never see death. They said, he's crazy, as a demon. They're even under the law. In the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathway there is no death. So what does that mean? If we could walk righteous and holy before God, how long could we live? I guess as long as we wanted to. Isn't that amazing? Now, are you even able to think like that? I think about a little girl down at Christ for the Nations one day. I was teaching. And I said, you know, who knows what God has planned for us, his church, in the future? But I said, it's good. It's great. I said, can you imagine the king putting us to test with all these trials and tests? And he told us to consider all these things pure joy. Because what I'm doing is building your faith. I'm perfecting you to become just like me. And I said, just think. One day, we're serving, we're reigning and rule with the king. And a trillion years have come and gone. And he says, son, come out here with me. Let's take a little trip off out here in the North 40. Walk off out there in space somewhere, about 100 trillion miles off out there in space. And he said, son, the cosmos, since everything's been fulfilled, is getting a little crowded. All the planets and galaxies are getting full of people. I need another one. Right off out here in the north. Why don't you speak me just a small galaxy about 20 million light years across with probably 200 new planets with a few stars and suns in it. Go ahead, it's your turn. And this little girl from across and they jumped up out there and she said, sir, would you pray for me? I said, what do you want me to pray for you for? She said, I want your kind of faith. She said, I ain't never seen nobody can think like you do. She said, I want that kind of faith. I said, well, who knows? Well, I'm thinking maybe far below what God has planned for us. Who knows? You know, he told the Pharisees and Sadducees, I can't even explain things to you of the world. Because you can't understand it. How would I explain spiritual things to you? Well, you know, most of us never think like God. We never think like God. It depends on how big your Jesus is. Is your Jesus a man, or is he the king of the universe? Well, let me tell you, Shirley Williams' Jesus and Amanda's Jesus was the king of the universe. When you walk up and see bones sticking out of a leg, and it's broken in seven places, brain damage, lips ripped open, who knows what all, And the first words out of that little girl's mouth, she don't look at her circumstances. She don't look down at her bleeding, crushed leg, all broken and jagged. She just looks up and says, "By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed." That takes a little girl. That's a 15-year-old girl. You know what happens to most 15-year-old girls? They cut their finger. They're screaming. "Look at the blood running out of my finger." There's a little girl who knew who she was. She was a little girl of faith. Ty, being a doctor, he knows, you know, he won't let lots of people come back there with him when he does surgery or works on something, because people see a little blood, they pass out. Is that right, Ty?
That's right.
Sure, it happens. You know, it happens. You know, you have to be very careful. You know, I mean, even when you're working on somebody, you know, a body or an animal or anything else, you know, people can't handle these things because our Jesus is not very big. We're not walking in faith. Well, we walk in faith. You're a child of God. What can you do? Anything. Nothing's impossible to you. The king said that now. That's not what I'm saying. This is what the king says. Then he says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Now, that could mean two things. That could mean that a wise son heeds his earthly father's instructions because daddy always knows more than you do. I know some of you boys, I don't want to bust your bubble, but daddy knows more than you do. I know when you get to be 10 or 12, by this time you think daddy don't know nothing and you know everything. I know that because I've been there. But when you get to be 25, all of a sudden daddy become a whole lot wiser. You realize that daddy had learned a lot of things. But this could also mean our Heavenly Father. And Ernest, you and me still sons. So we need to heed His words, right? We don't ever get too old to be His son, do we? And so we have to listen to His promise. So a wise son, which is all of us men, I don't care how old you are here today, I don't care if you're 10 or 110, if you're here today, I hope you're a son of God. And if you are, he says a wise son heeds his father's instructions. Well, what is the father's instructions? It's the owner's manual that we're reading. That's the instructions. You've got to heed it and do what it says if you want God to bless you. He will not if you do not. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke.
We're going to have to break in right there and stop the program for today. But if you'll join us tomorrow, the next program will be coming on Monday through Friday. On your station, and we'll love to continue on. If you would like these teachings in their entirety, you're welcome to call our ministry center at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you any type of media, free and postpaid. We have these teachings in their entirety. We'll be happy to send them to you. Or you can go to our website, www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org. That stands for The Living Savior Ministries, and there you can order these teachings free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is our wonderful Lord and Savior. He is a mighty God.